This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Hey, is this your dear? This is Mickey Loomis here, the GM of the New Orleans Saints. This is Mickey Loomis here, GM of the Saints. Good, how are you, man?
Good, been waiting on
it. Yeah, we have. It's been a long wait, man. We're going to take you with our next pick right here, man.
This thing won't be nothing to do.
Hey, but you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer, man. Sorry about that.
What does that mean?
What? What did he say?
I don't know.
How you gonna ask us what it means and you was on the phone?
You heard that? He said you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer.
Fire that kid into the sun.
WEEI Afternoons, that was the prank call during draft weekend from Jax Ulrich to Shedeur Sanders on his private line that was given out just to NFL peeps. Yes, Diz?
Can I just point out, 2 hours ago, Nick was like, we need to bring pranks back. And now he's like, fire that kid into the sun.
No, pranks. Pranks as in, you know, like little funny ones that don't like screw with your livelihood, that don't make an absolute, like Mike Vrabel was not made a mockery when Joe Andrewsy, and yes, this was the story Joe told in the 3 o'clock hour when he joined us, when they put a cooked pig's head in his locker and made it sound like it was alive in there, like, oh, open the door, help, I'm trapped.
I don't think Shedeur made a mockery. Sorry, Nick, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I think he was. I think he was embarrassed. I think the entire weekend was embarrassing for him.
Yeah, but either way.
He earned and deserved a certain portion of that, and I think by and large, this was NFL owners saying, like, we don't want the entourage, we don't want the noise, we don't want the smoke, we don't want the nonsense, and also we don't think you're as good as you think you are. That said, he did not deserve to be treated like that. That was pathetic. And this kid stealing GM's numbers off his dad's iPad because his dad is a defensive coordinator, former crappy head coach, interim level of the New York Jets, and that he has access to him, so the kid stole him and did this, like, oh, now he just puts out a letter like, oh, I'm so sorry, thanks for taking my call, Shedeur, I've learned my lesson. No, you haven't. You child of privilege, you absolute imbecile.
Yeah, he's immature, so for obnoxious. Sure. To me, this is akin to like someone pulling the fire alarm at a opponent's hotel at 3 in the morning.
The thing, I think Fitzy should be offended, but he should be offended as a comedian. I didn't think the execution of the prank call was all that good. He just says,
it was terrible.
We're going to take you next pick, but you're going to have to wait a little longer. Okay, got to go back. Like, it was
just
like a
lame... Yeah, but that's
like
when you call someone when you're 12, Andy, back in the days when people had landlines and there wasn't caller ID, and you'd be like, is your refrigerator running? Yeah, why? Well, you should go get it.
Actually,
it's running.
My prank call of choice was you give somebody's phone number to a place for a fax, and then it tries to fax them, and every time they pick the phone up, it just hears those weird, like beeping noises, and then it keeps trying to hang up because it can't go through, so it keeps calling them time after time and does the same thing.
This is really not annoying. The first time we've seen young sports fans prank an athlete like this, and they usually go, it's pretty much the same. It's
right.
All par for the course.
Now, the bigger issue for Shedeur is he was available in the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth
this
round.
This was crazy.
Yeah, a lot of time
weekend.
For a prank call.
And
he was available those? I didn't hear many people talking about it.
No, Mel Kiper should have talked about it more. It was weird. He didn't bring it up at all. And
God.
Get
how
emotional
awkward and... did the Reese Davis and Mel Kiper and Lewis Riddick dialogue get? My God, the ESPN must have been like, can somebody get a commercial ready? I think we need to go to commercial.
Kind of reminded me of the Six Rings postgame show when you didn't want to talk about Belichick getting screwed by the fans because they didn't show up for his finale at Gillette, and I was like yelling at you, and we were going back and forth, and it was awkward.
The NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Clueless. No idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterback. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many times
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterback? They don't.
The same guy, by the way, who told you people like Jimmy Clausen were absolute surefire home run hits. Can't like. I like Mel Kiper. The man is the godfather, the grandfather, the OG of player analysis, mock drafts, and so much of what we celebrate now on an annual basis in a telecast that outdraws the Oscars. And by the way, I still think you went on too long about that Belichick snow game farewell.
That was good.
But that's fine.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
No one wanted to hear it more than 5 minutes. You just went on and on.
Mel Kiper had a little Belichickian moment here. I think he may have lost his way. Clearly, it's personal. Clearly, there's some sort of relationship there. Because Mel, I don't believe I've ever heard anyone
he
in the
NFL. Trump, yeah. Exactly.
I don't believe I've ever heard anyone in the NFL say, we know exactly what we're doing with the quarterback position. I feel like everybody talks about it's an inexact science. It's hard to do. There's misses. Like, Mel, who are you arguing with? No, like, the straw himself. Man is there with you. It was a very, very strange, and I saw somebody, like, it was like 9 minutes total that he ranted and raved on national TV during a draft, which is actually having players selected. Actually, players are going off the board. People are enjoying their greatest moment in life, and he's just bitching because Dion's boy didn't go early enough, in his opinion.
Well, let's all. I also want to bring up, I saw some people around town hitting on this point, too. So much time was spent. Like, you make the joke about it, you know, every now and again, like, oh, you know, do you know what time it is? It's sure Sanders hasn't been drafted, third round, fourth round, et cetera. But so much time was sucked up over the weekend on this. Just think about how many other draft picks deserved, like, a profile, their moment in the sun to be discussed, and they couldn't because the absolute content vacuum of nonsense that was Shedeur Sanders just hoovered all of it up, and then all other people that deserved their moment in the sun didn't get it. Now, of all the people that have fallen, like Will Levis to the second round, Brady Quinn all the way to the end of the first round, have you ever seen somebody who was mocked potentially going third overall go to 144th? It is.
No, but we've never seen anything like Shedeur, Dion,
the locker,
Colorado,
and the $100,000 legendary necklace.
I mean, this is a unique situation. We've never seen a quarterback who followed his dad to his school and he said, I'm bringing my Gucci with me. I got two. Now I need to figure out who the other starters on this team. Like, this is just a modern jackal on jackal crime with his dad and his son and everything about it. Like, I did think it was funny, though, because all the talk leading up was the Browns could take Shedeur at number two if they do, if they don't. They could have taken Travis Hunter at number two and then Shedeur anywhere along the line and kept the band together and had Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders as their star power Colorado Buffs. I bet you Travis Hunter is glad he's separated from Shedeur
Sanders.
Got
out of that nonsense. Yeah. Well, they're going to be interlinked forever, though, because they're both now Colorado Buffalo Ring of Honor Hall of Fame retired.
Until they tear that down and people... you know, the memes where it says Dion's kid number two at Colorado instead of his actual name.
You know, he could have gone back to school and made so much more than he's going to make his rookie year or his first 4 years.
Well, he's also just not that good. Like, that's the part. See, I thought I made a proclamation when I said Jackson Dart's going to go ahead of Shedeur. It doesn't look like as great a prediction now. I swear when I said that, it was a pretty good prediction. It was like a lukewarm take at the very least.
It was a take.
Now that he goes after Shug and Gabriel and whoever the hell else all the other quarterbacks are, it doesn't seem like it was a good take. It was a good take at the time. He's not that good. If you really take away the glitz, the glamour, the Dion, the Travis Hunter, like... he's not that good. Now, that being said, my prediction is he starts for the Browns at some point this year because you know who else is not that good? Everybody else on their quarterback depth chart. Pickett. Who's the other guy? Gabriel. Like, he's going to start.
Can you name all five?
Pickett, Gabriel, Sanders. Why am I drawing a blank? Flacco.
Yeah, and you're missing the most obvious one.
Deshaun Watson.
There you go.
Still technically there and being paid. And never.
What a room. Flacco, Watson, Gabriel, Sanders.
Can you imagine that room? You have like...
it's going to be outrageous.
The whitest of white old dude, I used to be good, hold my hat guy. You have Deshaun Watson, who... a lot of baggage there. You got Shedeur, who's like, well, at least I'm just kind of annoying and have an entourage. I didn't do anything that got me sued or sexual assault charges.
Yet.
That we know of, I was going to say. And then, you know, Dylan Gabriel, I don't even know what his shtick is. I feel bad for him. He's a third round pick. He's the higher pick. He should be more notable. I feel like when Browns training camp opens, all the cameras are going to be on Shedeur. Everybody's going to be talking to Shedeur. And off to the side, Dylan Gabriel's going to be talking to like one reporter for Browns.com.
Who out of the five do you feel the worst for right now? Which is a wild sentence to come away from the draft with.
Dylan Gabriel.
Okay. Definitely. Even more than Kenny Pickett, I feel like he's just... well,
he's had his shot.
Oh, Pickett, that's right. One or two of them are getting cut for sure. Someone's getting traded, someone's getting cut, bare minimum. And again, I just want to say this for the record. I'll say it everywhere I can until I either learn that it's going to happen or it doesn't. Please, NFL Films, please, I pray upon the buried footballs behind Gillette Stadium. Make the Cleveland Browns do Hard Knocks this summer. Please, that room alone, that'll be the most entertaining thing ever.
Yeah, that'll be some TV.
Time now for our league leaders and who's circling the drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. The Browns are the league leaders in quarterbacks in their quarterback room with 5. And despite that, they don't actually have an NFL-quality starter, so they'll be circling the drains when the season arrives because you can't win without a good quarterback in the NFL. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Odds and Ends. And we have another trip to the White House, which means another chance for our president, Stiz's president, to tell you how he knew better than another professional sports team GM. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.